of a joke. There were two friends from church who always communicated by text message. One evening, one of these two friends happened to pass by the house of his friend and so decided to pay him a visit. He saw the lights on, rang the bell, nothing. He kept ringing the bell, nothing. So he left, but decided to send a text message. And the message only read, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And left. After a while, he got the response. And the response was, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. What were they saying? What were they talking about? Well, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, I'm at the door and knock. If you open, I will come in and will dine with you. The response taken from today's first reading, I heard you, but I was afraid because I was naked and I went to hide myself. You can communicate text message with quotes from the Bible. Someone might ask us Catholics, find for me, please, in Holy Scripture where it says that Mary was conceived without sin, would you? Could you find it? The answer is yes. Not in clear terms, but we find in Holy Scripture these great titles, these great descriptions of Mary that baffled the early Christian community. What does it mean when the angel says to her, Hail, Kaire, ke karitomene, full of grace, ke karitomene in Greek. What does it mean that a woman is full of grace and the Lord is with you? And when Elizabeth greeted her and said, Blessed are you among women. The early Christians paid attention to these words from Holy Scripture. What do they mean? From the earliest days of the Christian faith, these words of revelation were understood as conferring upon Mary a unique grace, a special privilege. Let me quote a few of the early fathers of the church, Saint Justin, Saint Irenaeus, in the second century. They saw Mary as the new Eve, just as Jesus is the new Adam. Adam, in the book of Genesis, sinned. Eve sinned. But now the new Adam, Jesus, comes to free us from sin, and the new Eve also, Mary. Other church fathers called her the Ark of the New Covenant and the Theotokos, God's bearer, the Mother of God. And others, Saint Ephrem, for example, the Syrian, in the 4th century, spoke of Mary as without stain or blemish and called her, and I quote, the all-pure, all-immaculate, all-stainless, all undefiled, all uncorrupt, all inviolate. 4th century. Saint Ambrose, today is his feast of Saint Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, in the second half of the 4th century, wrote, Lift me up, not from Sarai, but from Mary, a virgin not only undefiled, but a virgin whom grace has made inviolate, free of every stain of sin. These are very powerful words from the beginning of Christianity. And Saint Augustine spoke of Mary sinlessness using a language that is very similar to the Catholic dogma of the Immaculate Conception. He said, From the Lord, an abundance of grace for overcoming sin in every particular way was conferred upon her, Mary, who had to merit to conceive and bear him who undoubtedly had no sin. I think that these quotes prove that the belief in the Immaculate Conception of Mary, that Mary was without sin was as early as the second century. However, you know that the dogma of the Immaculate Conception was declared only in the 1800s, 1854, if I'm not mistaken, by Pope Pius IX. He declared as a dogma, as a faith to be held by all Catholics, that Mary, from her conception, was preserved from the stain of sin because of the merits of her son. This is very important. Mary was saved by Jesus. She's not saved on her own merits. Only Jesus is the Savior. But like Jesus saves us who have been infected by sin, by giving us the antidote, his grace, he preserved Mary by giving her a vaccine, so to speak, so that she would not be infected by sin. She, therefore, was saved by her son. And you know, this is good news. This is really gospel. Because it's the fulfillment of the first gospel that we find in Holy Scripture, the Proto-Evangelion, the very first good news, which we find in the third chapter of Genesis, right after the original sin. We heard it in today's first reading, when God promises that he would put enmity between the woman and the serpent, between her offspring and him. God was already announcing that a woman would not fall under the spell of evil, and her offspring, Jesus Christ, would defeat evil. And so that became reality in the birth of Mary. Even before the Pope declared the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, 4 years before the dogma, the bishops of the United States had already chosen the Immaculate Conception as patroness of the United States. The United States beat the Vatican at this. And only a few years later, actually it was 4 years later, if I'm not mistaken. 24 years before the declaration of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, 24 years before, in Paris, Saint Catherine Labouret had a vision of the Blessed Mother and produced what we call the Miraculous Medal, which also has this inscription: O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Before the dogma, the bishops of the United States had already declared the Immaculate Conception the patroness of the U.S. Before the dogma, 24 years before, Saint Catherine Labouret had already seen this vision of the Miraculous Medal with the inscription, O Mary conceived without sin. And 4 years after the declaration of the dogma, the Blessed Mother appeared to Bernadette Soubirous in Lourdes, in France, in 1858, 4 years later. And when Bernadette asked the Blessed Mother, who are you? She answered, Je suis l'Immaculée Conception. Words that Bernadette could not even understand. She was saying, I am the Immaculate Conception. And in 1917, finally, the Blessed Mother once again appeared, this time in Fatima, to the three young shepherds. And one of the prophecies she revealed them was this: in the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. You see, there is a convergence of hints about the Immaculate Conception. It only makes sense that the one from whom the Son of God would be born would be preserved from sin. Not because of her merits, though, not because she was different from us, but because she was saved by her Son, by being preserved from sin. Now, here comes the challenge for us. True devotion to the Blessed Mother is not the rosary. The rosary is fine, it's perfect, it's good. Not the scapular, which is also good. True devotion to the Blessed Mother is the imitation of Mary. We are meant to imitate Mary in her yes to God's call when she said, "Fiat mi secundum verbum tuum," let it be done to me according to your word. We are supposed to imitate her in her virtues, imitate her in her service to Christ. How can we imitate her in her Immaculate Conception? We can't. None of us. Well, the second reading today gives us a hint. The letter to the Ephesians. He chose us to be holy and without blemish before him. That's our vocation. We were called to be holy, to be without blemish. Not because we were conceived immaculate, but because through Christ we can receive the grace that restores us to holiness, the grace that preserved Mary from sin. So during this Advent season and always, let us imitate Mary. Let us be holy and blameless before Christ. Let us strive for holiness. Remembering what Mother Teresa said when they asked her about her holiness, she answered, "Holiness is not the privilege of a few. It's the responsibility of all." We are called to be holy and blameless before him.